It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Who's ready to have church? Amen. Amen. It's good to see you. For you visitors, I'm not the normal pastor of this church. I've been asked to step in, so I do see some new faces. I see a pretty good contingent from Bakersfield, North Carolina. David, thank you all for coming. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Cheryl, it's always good to have you. About 6 months ago, somebody had sent me a poem. I guess it's a poem. So how am I going to describe it? I'm going to describe it as a poem. I don't know if it is or not. But it was touching, and I was going to use it in my prison ministry. You know, I thought the men would identify with it. Well, for a year and a half, we haven't been able to get into prison. So Val keeps saying, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? I shared it with Val. And I didn't really think it was Sunday morning preaching type message. I just didn't. But Val wouldn't give up. And she said, you need to do that. And I said, okay. And I've been praying about it. And so some of the props, I didn't have any of them, actually. Brother Sean had brought the baseball bat and the basketball. You Carolinians know what a basketball is. I don't know if you know what a baseball bat is or not. But all you good folks from up north do know what a baseball bat is. And some other things. So I'm going to share that with you. Then we're going to get into the message. Some of you may have heard this poem. I don't know. But this basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about, well, current estimate over $1 billion, about $80 million a year during his play. In my hands, it's worth, because it don't hold air real good, it's worth about $6. I don't know what it would cost at Walmart, but it depends on whose hands it's in. I used to love to play golf. I used to tell myself I was good until I met somebody that was really good. I got this from Butch Phillips. He brought me up a golf club. I didn't have any. I got rid of my golf clubs a couple years ago. This golf club in Tiger Woods' hands, as we all know, is worth $100 million a year. And he don't even play anymore, really. Still worth a lot of money. In my hand, it's probably worth, it's an old Persimmon Head club. I maybe have to get $35 for it at a yard sale. They're collectible now. It depends on whose hands it's in. So, you guys can take this stuff. I ain't planning on giving it back to Butch. You know, just help yourself. I used to play baseball. I played baseball or softball about every night of the week on leagues. I love to play ball. I'm a baseball guy. I follow baseball. Love it. Love the sport. Mike Trout of the Los Angeles Angels. They've changed. They've been everywhere now. The Angels have traveled the country. This bat in his hand. Last year's contract was $420 million. Mike Trout's a 29-year-old center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels. It's a nice Easton aluminum bat. In my hand, it's worth about $75. It depends on whose hands it's in. A sling, in my hand, is a child's toy. You know, slingshot, we all had them as boys. Maybe some of you girls had them. It's a child's toy. In King David's hand, it slew a giant. Depends on whose hand it's in. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I can make you up some sandwiches. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people. It depends on whose hands it's in. Put a rod or a stick in my hand. I grew up on a dairy farm. And we carried sticks out into the pasture. We carried, you know, rods out into the pasture. We'd herd cows up, and we got them up into the milking barn. We'd take it, and every once in a while, we'd have to crack one of them, get them move on up. Cows weren't dumb. They were just stubborn. In my hand, that stick was worthless. I could move a snake out of the trail, or I could swat a old cow on the hind end to make it do what I wanted it to do, but it was absolutely worthless. In Moses' hands, he parted the Red Sea. Depends on whose hands it's in. A couple nails. In my hand, I could mend a fence. Maybe tack up a piece of molding. Not worth much. I'm not going to do much with a couple nails. But in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's hands, these nails brought salvation. Nailed to a cross. that I won't have to face death, that I can spend eternity with Him in heaven. It depends on whose hands it's in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can't comprehend how much You love us. Father, I ask that the Word of God speaks this morning, not Bob Ivins. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I want to bring this home. I want to make this practical to us. Whose hands are you in? As a family, as a husband, as a mother, as a daughter, as an elder, as a speaker of the gospel. I don't take what I do lightly. I'm scared to death of what I do. I'll be honest with you. The responsibility of a teacher of the gospel is not something to take lightly. I will be judged differently just due to the fact that I stand here. Scriptures tell me that. I don't take what I do lightly. I'm not that good at it. I'm not really, you'll hear me say some things that are not grammatically correct. But whose hands am I in? And I'm not saying that I've made it. My goodness gracious, if you spend any time with me, you'd know that. If I'm pointing one finger at you guys, there's three coming back. I'm striving, just like you. I'm not talking down to anyone this morning, but I want to make it really clear what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. So, we're going to go into the Scripture. We're going to go maybe one more place to see how time. I've got plenty of time this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I've had this highlighted in my Bible for many years. I've had it outlined in my Bible. I've got it underlined in my Bible. And until I started working on this message, I spent all week on this one verse. And the verse right below it, really. These two verses. 1 and 2 of Romans 12. And I dissected it. And I went back into history and listened to old preachers preach it. So a lot of this I'm going to tell you this morning I didn't come up with. It's been rooted and grounded in the Church of Jesus Christ, when the Church of Jesus Christ was a living entity, when it was alive, when it was changing lives, when it was changing our government, when it was changing our community, when it was changing our schools. And it was amazing. I could study that one verse for months. There's so many layers to this word. So I'm going to shut up and read it. Starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let me stop. I didn't get far. Therefore what? Why do you start with therefore? I mean, that's like I'm not really good in English, but that's in grammar, that's something. Yeah, it's like a something. English teachers in here? It's something. It means something in English grammar when you read in the first word of the sentence, therefore. That means there was something before. Therefore. From Romans 1 to Romans 11, if you'll study it this week, take time and read that. It's a great writing on theology. Systematic theology. It's great. It's the Christian life spelled out in 11 chapters. How wretched I am as a sinner. Even though I've accepted Jesus Christ, how wretched you folks are as sinners. John Newton, it wrote Amazing Grace, said at the end of his life, I am a great sinner, but I serve a great Savior. Don't think you're anything special, folks. We get our eyes on the church. We get our eyes on each other. Please don't get your eyes on me because I'll let you down. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to focus on Jesus. So therefore, he's telling us how we should, where we come from, what we are, and how we get to where we need to go. That's where he starts here in verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, the mercies of God, I'm going to stop right there again. The mercies of God. If I were to ask, or if you were to ask me what that means, what would I say? I'd come up with something because I talk a lot. I don't know if it'd be correct, but I mean, that's a Christian thing to do. You say something. You know, Kenny asked me a couple weeks ago, are we going to do another study? You know, we did a study a few months ago that had a great impact on a lot of our lives. The Lord had led me another study that I was going to do in prison. I didn't get the opportunity to do it on heaven. Randy Alcorn's study of heaven. It changed my life. I don't want to go to Disney World. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to King's Dominion. I want to go to heaven. I've already been those places. I've already been out. I've seen what the world has to offer. I'm looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it. I'm excited about it. And that's what that study did. Well, I've got a new subject, brother. Brother Kenny, I got a new subject. I want to learn about God. I want to learn about what He is, what He's made up of, why He chose me. I want to learn about the attributes of God. I want to learn about it. How can I give myself 100% to something I'm vague on, not quite sure of, have some questions about? A.W. Pink, a really, really good author, has written a really large series on the attributes of God. I'd like to have the opportunity to go into that. We got to get that part. It doesn't mean anything if we don't understand who God is. If God is this building for an hour on Sunday morning, we've missed it. God forbid. If it's what God is. In the evangelical church, in the southern part of this country, in the Bible belt of this country, that's what most of it is. I don't want to bring bad news, but half the people sitting in the church this morning is going to spend eternity in hell if something don't happen in this country. They don't understand what salvation is. They think if you come in here and sing a couple songs, give a little bit in tithes, it ain't got nothing to do with it. It's about serving God. It's about knowing who God is. You know, if I had a bologna sandwich, you know, two pieces of old white bread like we used to have to eat when I was a boy on the farm. We didn't have a whole lot of special stuff. We didn't have government cheese, but heck, we didn't even have cheese. My grandmother, my mom would bring me a bologna sandwich. It had mayonnaise on it. You had choice of mayonnaise or not mayonnaise. That's how we got it. White bread. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 days old. Sometimes it had a little texture to it. That's what we got. If I brought you that sandwich, Brother David, and I handed it to you, 2021, that wouldn't mean much. Sandwich wouldn't mean a whole lot. You know, you'd be saying, like, that's all you got, man, an old bologna sandwich on some dry bread. You take that same sandwich in the slums of Calcutta. You cut that sandwich in half, and you hand that sandwich to a person that hadn't had anything to eat for 3 or 4 days. And they'd kiss my hand. They'd bow down to me and thank me. Because they realized what it was. They would understand what that sandwich means. That means life. That's what I'm talking about, church. If we don't know who God is, if we don't understand God's mercies, if we don't understand His attributes, if we don't understand what He has done for me, that I didn't deserve it, I'm not worthy of it, then how are we ever going to serve Him in the fullest? How are we ever going to die to self? I don't think we can. I think we play. I think I play. I urge you, therefore, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true worship. He don't want an hour on a Sunday. Praise God. He don't want us to just speak like, how you doing? I'm good. You know, how you doing? I'm good. Praise God. You know, somebody else even put that in there. You know, He wants us to present our body as a living sacrifice. It comes as a call. It comes at a cost, folks. He told His disciples, whoa, slow down, boys. Count the cost. You want to roll with me, count it. Ain't going to be good. He said, well, I want to sit on your right hand. I want to sit on your left hand. He said, whoa, are you sure? Are you sure you're 100% in? The ones that are sitting here thinking they are. Because you got a few of them in here. A few of you in here, no, you ain't. There goes my grammar. No, you're not. I feel sorry for the ones that think they are. I'm just telling it like it is, folks. Just telling it like it is. My only purpose in standing in front of you this morning is to win souls. My only purpose. Ain't to make you like what I say. Ain't to make you enjoy the message. God forbid. We're dealing with something much greater than that. It's about salvation. It's about eternity. You know, that's what it's about. So I wish I could, you know, put a little rose. I'm not going to tell you a joke. I'm not going to make you feel good about where you're at. I want you to contemplate it this week. I want you to think about it. Are you 100% in? He said, count the cost. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means you die to something. Have you died to something? That's tough, guys. I when I read these kind of scriptures, it's like the rich young ruler. When I read these kind of scriptures, it bothers me. It wakes up something inside of me and makes me question, what more do I need to do? How much more time do I need to spend on my knees? How much more time do I need to spend in the Word? I ain't hearing a whole lot of amens this morning. I had some amens last Sunday. I ain't hearing a whole lot of that this morning. If you wake up tomorrow morning and whatever you got in front of you is more important than time spent with God, you need to ask for His forgiveness. I'm just going to put it out there. That's all I'm going to say. You need to ask for forgiveness. Because if you put it off before the first thing you do in your day, you're not starting with God. I'm starting with Bob. I'll bring it home. If you don't fall on your knees and ask the Lord and thank the Lord and ask Him to lead you and guide you and protect you. People say, you know, you need the Holy Spirit to preach a word. You need the anointing to fall on you to preach the word. I need the anointing to fall on me to go to Walmart. I need the anointing to fall on me to get out of bed. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, because it's going to happen. The enemy's going to be right there. No, sir. I can't do it. I've tried it. Thank God He brings troubles in our lives. Last Sunday, I heard a testimony. Sister Mary, you said more in a couple words than anybody said the whole morning. She said in her trials and tribulations, she's drawn close to God. In her affliction, for you don't know, she was involved in a pretty serious wreck and got really bad hurt. And she hadn't been able to come to church. And she came last Sunday and she gave a testimony that her time at her home, not able to come out and fellowship with the believers, that it drew you close to God. That's how it works, folks. That's how it works, unfortunately. We're too caught up in us. We're too caught up in the love of the world. We're too caught up in all the things that are going around us at warp speed. You know, everything in our life is a microwave. You know, everything in our life is, you know, if our internet is slow, we're out of this world, son. You folks working from home kind of get that, you know. Something goes down, you know, line goes down. Oh, we don't even understand what it is. We got to spend time with Him. But first we got to get to know Him, or He isn't worthy to spend time with if we don't know who He is. If we don't know what He's got to offer, if we don't know what He's done for us, we don't know. So, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing in the perfect will of God. How are we going to do that, folks? How are we going to know what the will of God is? How are we going to know what His plan is for our lives? How are we going to know? Elders, I'm going to ask you this question. And I'm not speaking down to you. God forbid, don't take this wrong. How are you going to know how to lead a church if you hadn't scoured the Scriptures and understood what the Scriptures say about being an elder? How's that going to work? It's in there. It's not just because you got old and you were sitting in church. That's the qualifications of most elders today in most churches. How are you going to know? How's the pastor going to know what the responsibility of the shepherd is if he don't get in the scriptures and look up every scripture in the Old Testament and New Testament on how to be a shepherd? Or he's just got good hair and he plays the guitar well and he speaks good. That's not a qualification. There's people sitting in this room this morning that's called to be in the ministry. I know that. There's people that's called to do more than sit and sweat. And there's people in this building that's called to support those people in their ministry. And I know that. Because you've missed that window of your ministry. You know, there's nothing more disheartening than to get to the end of the line and say, "Wow, I wish I'd have done more for Jesus. I wish I'd have started sooner. I wish I'd have had what I was missing." The reason you were missing is you weren't really willing to get it. I want to see your knees. Yeah. I want to see your knees. If you want to talk to me about serving in the ministry, I want to see your knees. If there's no evidence you've been on them, then we're going to pray together on our knees. And we're going to get on them. It's nothing to take lightly, folks. It's real. It's amazing. And the other side of that, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't get it right in this world, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I'm going to preach about hell. That breaks my heart because I got people I love. I got people I would give anything for. I got people I prayed for years that are not saved. And I've got other people that sit in church every Sunday that think they're saved and they're not. It breaks my heart. Oh, you're saying, "Bob, don't judge nobody." How do you know a person's heart? I can tell a person's heart by how they walk. I'm not judging them. I can see it. It don't take a wise person to know. I can tell what comes out of their mouth. Now, I'm not talking about brand new Christians. They're going to stumble, and they're going to fall, and they're going to say things, go things, be things, do things that they're not supposed to do. But a man's been saying he's a Christian for 35 years and has never prayed somebody through, has never read his Bible, has never spent time on his knees. He don't know Jesus. You know why I know that? Because Jesus has a warranty deed on you. If you're in real estate, he has a deed of trust. He has a insurance on you. His reputation depends on it. He said who he will call, who he will start this work in, he will finish. Come on. It may not be pleasant. May like me, like at 27 years old, I ended up with hepatitis C and I was dying. I was a dead man. I had a miraculous experience with Jesus Christ as a child. I was that weird kid that took the Bible to school and told people about Jesus. And in my teens, I strayed. Next thing you know, I'm sticking a needle in my arm and I'm shooting dope. How far can you go and how quick can you get there? Boy, it's warp speed, guys. It's warp speed. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit said, "He's mine." He may not look like it right now, but he's mine. I end up in the University of Maryland dying. People praying for my healing. People anointing me with oil and praying a prayer of faith over me and saying he's got a, you know, speaking prophecy into my life. Someday he's going to minister in the gospel. And I'm thinking, man, if I can just get through today, if I can just see tomorrow, what did I start doing? Man, I start praying. Oh, Lord, that old dope didn't look so good right then. All those sins that were so easily besetting me didn't look so appealing. But he allowed that to happen. It wasn't his perfect will. He didn't make me stick that needle in my arm. But I did it. Some of you are dealing with hardships in your lives today because God wants to bring you back home and give you the fullness of his joy. And you don't understand it. If you're called, He called you before the foundations of the earth. The scriptures tell me he called you before the foundations of the earth. He knew you were going to be his before he made this world. And he told me, you will. He said, I will. Several times in the Bible, I will see it to completion. Now, how it's done, he leaves that up to you. He gives us a free will. Think about it this week, folks. I need to think about it. I'm speaking to Bob. I need to think about it. Is he number one, or is he just one of many? What's our idol today? Huh? What is it? We all got them. Oh, you know, we think about them four old heathen people in the Old Testament had idols. Oh, them bad folks. You know, if you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. But if you're going to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. Who's our idol today? Who's my idol today? Am I willing to give it all up? You know, I've had a lot of people complain about, or not complain, I've had a lot of people question when I talk about the rich young ruler. About what Jesus tell him. Sell all you have and give to the poor and follow me. Whoa, that don't preach good here in Avery County or Queen Anne's County where I'm from in Maryland outside of D.C. That don't preach real good. Folks got a lot. And I tell you what, the ones that got the most, they really got a problem with it. Old poor person ain't got a whole lot of problem with it. They ain't got nothing fit to keep nohow. You know? He's not asking you to do a thing. Jesus Christ is not asking you to do a thing. He's not asking me to do a thing that he hasn't already done. He left heaven. My Lord of mercy, he left heaven. Came as a poor person to this world and said, if you want to have peace, if you want to follow me, leave all this back. Don't even look back. Don't take your hand off the plow. Just move on. He's not asking you to do a thing he's already done. Oh, my wife's unfaithful. Or my husband's unfaithful. The Lord told me I need to get a new wife. I need to get a new husband. He spoke to me. Look at the bride of Christ. How unfaithful she's been. He understands it. He gets it. And we need to get it. We need to get it, folks. I love it. If you've got... We got a couple more minutes. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Let's see here. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 18. If you guys want to do a really quick study of the theology of the Bible, Ephesians, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapters of Ephesians is a summary. Paul is just absolutely amazing in his writing. It's a summary of the entire theology, just like Romans is, 1 through 11. He almost duplicates it in Ephesians. So, you know, if you don't have time to read the whole Bible tomorrow, you know, don't get discouraged. Read the first three chapters of Ephesians. During this week coming up, read the first 11 chapters of Romans. He's going to tell you what this is all about. A lot of you have read it. You know, I grew up, my dad was a pastor. I was in church every time the doors opened. I was in church a lot of times when the doors weren't open. We're there practicing and doing what we did. And sometimes I read over the words. Sometimes I read them. I read the Bible every day. Sometimes I read over the words. That's why each and every one of you men should be standing up here. Each and every one of you women have a word for the Lord. Because my week this week was amazing because I was in the Word every day because I knew I had to stand up here this morning. I won't be like this next week. I'm not smart enough to continue. Because next week, Kurt's going to be back. Praise God. I'm glad. I got a week off. 2 weeks off. 3 weeks off. I don't, you know. But it's amazing what that requires. It's amazing the intimacy. Like Miss Mary said, the intimacy that we have when we hit something that we can't fix ourselves. I knew if I got up here and just talked to you this morning that it wouldn't. And I don't know who this message is for. It may be for everyone sitting in here. It may be for one person. I don't know. But I know it's for one person because it's for me. It is. And Charlie. He was going like this. You know, we need to understand it's all or nothing. When I was in the world, it was all or nothing. When I left on Friday night to go out and do what I did, it was all or nothing. Nothing stood in my way. And I come into church and I sit down and I think about what I'm going to eat, whether I'm going to eat Chinese food, take my brothers back there to eat Chinese food, or whether I'm going to eat pizza, whether I'm going to go to the steakhouse. I mean, that's the way I think sometimes. We've trivialized it, folks. I've trivialized it because we don't know the attributes of God. We don't know His mercies. We don't know His gifts, His abilities that's going to flow through us. He wants so much to complete this work in us. And He's got a guarantee on our lives that it will happen. It may not happen till death, but He wants it to happen now. The ones that are called into the ministry, minister. The ones that are called into teaching, teach. Not anybody's qualified. Not just anybody. These mega churches are popping up all over the country. They got 30 or 40 Sunday school teachers. God forbid, because most of them don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about having an experience during a revival, coming to the altar and saying a few words and getting up and never coming back, never changing their lives so they're not born again. That's not how it works. If you got grandkids that you think are born again and they're living like a wild dog or whatever, because they said a prayer at 8 years old at a revival, you better get on your knees. Because Christ told us in Matthew, in the day, there's going to be many people come and say, "Lord, Lord." And He's going to say, "Who are you?" That scares me to death. Who are you? It's bad enough for a sinner. But for somebody that thinks they're saved because they said, had an emotional moment, said a few words, hadn't repented, hadn't changed your life. Repenting means changing your mind. You no longer want to sin. Do you sin? Yes. Hell yeah. I'm sorry, I do. But I don't want to. When you get on those websites you ain't supposed to be, sometimes you don't even mean to go there. Sometimes it just pops up and you're there. Next thing you know, you're clicking on something. Whoa. And you're saying, "God, forgive me. No, I need to put a filter on this. I need to block this." You know, we don't talk about that. That's the white elephant in the church right now, is pornography. Men and women. It should break your heart. It should bring you to your knees. "God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm in this body of flesh. I'm sorry." We got to pray, brother. Sisters, we got to pray for our world. We got to pray for our children. We got to pray for... There's so many people sitting in the evangelical church today being pastored by people that are not qualified to be pastors. They're being taught by people that are not qualified to be teachers. They haven't spent the time. There's people coming out of seminary today no better. They'd be better off working for the Postal Service after doing their seminary training because they're not qualified. They're worried about numbers. They're worried about how good they look. They're worried about if they have a revival, how many people signed a card. "Oh man, we had 14 people saved last night." That's good. I ain't speaking about, that's not bad. But did they get saved? Did they repent of their sins? Are they walking with the Lord? Are they still out there doing the same thing they did the day before the revival? The reason the country is in the shape it's in is not because our country has failed. It's because our church has failed. Our church won't talk about that. We'll go through the Bible backwards, frontwards, sideways. But there's got to be application. I need you to pray for me, please, every day. Pray for me. I want to reach the world. And I hope that my world is no bigger than this. It's not about the numbers. It's not. It's about people being sold out for Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the mighty works of His strength?" It's not our strength, folks. It's His strength. We need to wake up every morning and pray the Holy Spirit come on us and lead us and guide us every day. The Holy Spirit's not something to be scared of. The Holy Spirit's not something we should avoid. It's something we should embrace because He sent the Holy Spirit because He knew we were a body of flesh. He knew we were going to fail. He knew those disciples were going to run scared after the crucifixion. Even after the resurrection, they were going to be scared. He told them to go into the upper room and pray. If you don't do that, you ain't going to mount to a hill of beans. You ain't going to mount to I planted a whole row. I planted, I don't know how many potatoes last year, and I think I got a handful of potatoes about like this. That's about what your ministry would amount to, is Bob Ivins' potatoes. We never did eat them. We threw them away. You could put them in the palm of your hand. I had 3 raised beds full of potatoes. They didn't mount spit. And I hoed them and fertilized them, and they had great big bushes on them. It looked like the church. It pretty. Had great big bushes on them. It but no fruit. I dug in potatoes. I was expecting something, brother. Brother Dave, I was expecting, man, I had a basket sitting there. You could put them in your hand. They were the funniest looking little things. They weren't much different than what I put in the ground. They just had a great big vine. That's the evangelical church today. It's funny. It is. It's you know, I could have bought 200-pound potatoes what I had in them 5 little potatoes. That's where we're at, folks. How long are we going to do it? How long are we going to stay here? How long are we going to continue to be my potato plant? That's good. I didn't even think about that. That's cool. You said this morning that the Lord may give you something that I didn't know I was going to say. That potato plant analogy, that's pretty good. I'll use that again. I had no idea about that. It looked great. I thought I was going to get several bushel potatoes. You could put them all in the cup of your hand. How are we going to do it? If you want to know, you come talk to me. I ain't got it figured out, but I know the direction. We're going to start studying about God. I'm going to find out who He is. I have a desire to understand it. I don't care if it takes 2 years to get through this study. I want to know who God is. Not who I think He is. Not who I think that, you know, not who the church thinks He is. My goodness. No. I want to know who God is. Who He says He is. And what He has available for me. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning knowing it's well with my soul. The rest of the world may be going to hell in a handbasket, but it's well with my soul. And I can stand on it, come hell or high water. If I give all of I have away, and He calls me to foreign lands like Avery County, and He does all those kind of things, it's well with my soul. That's what I want. And I want it for you guys too. I would love to have this thing as an incubator. I'd love to see the Bakersville crew, you know, do their thing up in Bakersville, and the Newland crew do their things up in Newland, and it's wherever. Let's be a sending church, but we got to understand what we're doing before we can do that. We got so many churches being run by kids that don't have a knowledge of the Holy. They have dressed the church up like a prostitute. You don't mess with the bride of Christ, the church. And they have brought in things that appeal to the flesh. The music. The snacks. And the, don't say too much about snacks. Snacks are good. Getting a little crazy now. But all the stuff that the world has to offer. And have put that in place of preaching holiness. Preaching repentance. Preaching salvation. Just come and enjoy yourself. Have a seat. That would scare me to death. I can't do that. I can't. I would hope God would strike me down before I did that. We got enough of that going on. You can't dress the church up to appeal to the world. That's why the world has no interest in it. The world don't want to do what we're doing. There's no power in it. You start laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered. You start casting out demons. You start casting out addictions. You start changing people's lives. Not us doing it, but the Holy Spirit flowing through us. They'll be lined up at that door. We prayed for Brent Ramsey last weekend. The men gathered around and we prayed for Brent. Brent's liver was bad off. He was in the hospital. He was projectile vomiting. Not the first time. We called for James and Tammy to come up, and you men stood with me, and we prayed for that man Monday morning. He was at work. Out of the hospital. Now you say, oh, Bob, he just was feeling better. Praise God, I'll take it. Yes, sir, he was feeling better. And if you were sick among you, any sick among us this morning, come up here, I'll pray for you. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And these men will gather around you, and we'll agree in faith, and we'll anoint you, and we'll pray the prayer of faith over you, and you will be healed. That's what the Scriptures say. 100%. Well, how you do that, Bob? Well, I guarantee it. The Word guarantees it. Now, when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, He may be working some things out in your lives. I don't know. He was with my hepatitis. He may be with Brent's. Praise God. I don't look down on Brent if he's got something he's working out in Brent's life. Would He allow that to happen? I believe He would. I don't think He's the cause of it. I don't blame He's going to strike you down with that, but I think He'd use that. So I hope you've enjoyed this. Well, I hope you've listened. I hope this has been applicable to you in your life. If there's anybody in here this morning that don't know that they know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life, I want you to either come up here as we pray. I'm not going to have a big old altar call. It's not going to be real emotional, but I want to pray for you. I don't want nobody to leave here. We don't know how much longer we got. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say that, you know, it's not, it's, you know, you got, you know, I can't tell you. What I can tell you is if you leave this world without knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, it's not a good place to be. And it's not temporary. I want that for you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you got sickness in your body this morning, you need to be prayed for, come up here. Don't be ashamed. It ain't about that. If you're ashamed to walk up in front of a church, oh my goodness, you don't know Him. I'm afraid you don't. If you do, you're still in your infancy of knowing Him. You know, I could have stayed in first grade, probably should have, for a long time. I could have stayed in elementary school for a long time. Probably should have. You know, it was rough for me to go away 12th grade. But that's like our church. We got so many people that are still on formula. Still sucking a ninny. Still messing themselves in their pants. They're, you know, speaking like a child, speaking like a little baby. Don't have no authority. Don't have no prayer life. Don't have anything. Walnut Grove, help me. You folks helped me grow. Until I got up here, until I got into the prisons, I wasn't interested in reading the Bible. I wasn't interested in praying. I wasn't interested in praying for other people. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have a devotional time. I didn't have a relationship. Was I saved? Yes. But I was still in elementary school. And in 3 years, the Lord has gotten a hold of me. And He's the most important thing in my life. I've sold my businesses. I parked a tractor and trailer that Val and I were making huge money with. Come home, the Lord called me home, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have a job. When I set that parking brake in that Ingalls parking lot, I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. But I knew the Lord was calling me home. It was time to come home. And I came home, and it didn't look real good either. I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't care for it. Then I changed, and I went back to doing what I used to do in Maryland, and it worked out for me. And then the Lord said, you need more time. You're too busy. You're too called up. I got something special for you. Not because I'm special. Don't misunderstand me. Lord knows, people know me real well. No, that's not the truth. It's because I'm available. Make yourself available this week. Spend time on your knees. If you can't get on your knees, get on your back before you get out of bed. Whatever, I don't care how it is. You don't have to get on your knees, but for me, I have to be on my knees. I can't do it standing up. I mean, I got boots on prayer and boots off prayer. I'll be honest with you. I got boots on prayers and boots off prayers. In the morning, it's boots off prayer. I'm on my sofa. Val said the other day, she said she came out in the living room and she said, there's a spot on the sofa. Remember that? You know what that's from? It's from my forehead. When I kneel and pray every morning, I didn't realize it. We have a leather couch. Barely could afford it. I mean, it's expensive. Now there's a spot on it. So I started putting an Afghan over it. I don't want to get too righteous. She said, there's a spot on our sofa. And I'm thinking, oops, I knew it was. You know, as soon as she said it, you know. I'm not bragging about that. That's something supernatural that's happened in my life. It's supernatural stuff that we're dealing with. Make yourself available, folks. And hang on. It's an awesome ride. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your word, Father. Oh, we thank You that it's precious. We thank You that it's inspired. It's every word, every page, every letter, Father, we thank You for it. Father, I thank You for the excitement that I have for this word. I thank You for what this word has done in my life in just a short time. Carried a Bible all of my life everywhere I went, never opened it. Oh, Father, I thank You for Your patience. I thank You for Your love. I thank you for our times alone, Father. When you speak to me and I speak to you. When I ask you to guide me through the day. When I don't feel good and I ask you to heal my body. When it doesn't look like we got enough money in our checking account, I ask you to meet our needs. Father, you've done it every time. And I thank you for that. And I praise you for that. I thank you for this group of people that's come out this morning, Father. I thank you for this little country church in southern Appalachia, Father. Statistically, it doesn't look like it's going to go. Statistically, in 20 years, most of these folks are going to be with you or in hell. But I don't think that's your will. If you don't come for your church, Father, I think this church will be here when you arrive. When you split that eastern sky, I think there will be people here. And I think there may only be a few, but we'll be serving God. We'll be on our knees. We'll be witnessing to our community. We'll be feeding the hungry. We'll be clothing the naked. We'll be doing the things that you called us to do. This world's no longer our home, Father. You told us that in this word. We're just passing through. Father, I pray for the ones that don't know you this morning. And there's some in here. Statistically, it doesn't make sense that everybody in here is going to heaven. That breaks my heart. Statistically, there's a percentage in this room that's not going to go. Oh, Father, through your Spirit, deal with them. Don't let Satan paint a picture that you're going to be a weirdo or you're not going to have fun. There's nothing like the high of the Most High. Oh, Father, I know that for a fact. There's nothing like you. There's no way that we can replace, this world can't replace what you have for us. There's people in here that are dealing with addictions. There's people in here that are dealing with pornography. There's people in here that are just dealing with sin in general. Father, I pray that they share it with us. We're not going to look down on them. I share mine. Oh, Father, go with us this week. Lead us and guide us in your word. Lead us and guide us in your truths. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, Father. Keep your hand upon us. Keep your hand upon our families, Father. We call back our families. We call back our grandchildren. We call back our sisters and brothers that don't know you, Father. We call them back to you. Father, I'm not going to give up on them. I'm going to wear you out talking about it, Father. I'm going to wear you out praying about it. I want you to hear us, Father. We're begging for that this morning. We're begging. Send the answer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.